Representative Sue Myrick from the Hill. Good morning.
There's a house full of them. Yeah.
Good morning, Sue.
How are y'all?
Doing good this morning. Are you okay?
I'm doing great. I'm back in Charlotte. It's wonderful.
Oh, good. Welcome home. Welcome home, baby. Well, Sue, when we heard this...
Don't call her baby.
Oh, come on. It's okay.
Okay, baby.
I'm sure she's been called worse.
It's kind of creepy. Bet. Baby's good.
Well, Sue, when we heard the floating out about doing away with the IRS...
I know. Isn't it great? Wow. You know, we tried this
Well, that all depends on what you're going to replace it with.
Yeah. Well, nothing.
Wow.
See, if we would, and this is the catch, you know, there's a value-added tax, there's a retail sales tax, and a flat tax floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
If we did a retail sales tax, literally, it is the only one that could allow you to completely get rid of the IRS.
So, and just explain this to our listeners that are hearing it for the first time.
Well, what you would do is not pay an income tax. Mm-hmm. Nobody would pay an income tax, okay? We would eliminate that, take it out of the code so it couldn't come back again, and then you would pay a sales tax on what you buy.
Okay, right. How much of a tax would you have to pay?
Well, there again, that's where the question always comes in, and there's a lot of discussion in somewhere in the 23% range is what they talk about. Now, again, that's not, this is not absolute sure, but you know, basically they the way they figure now is you're paying 22% minimum just embedded taxes that you pay every day and you don't even know about.
And that's before you get to the
to the sales tax. That's all the taxes that businesses put on the items. You know, one time when we were doing some of this research on it, you know, a loaf of bread, just a loaf of bread before you get to the actual purchase price of it had something like 18 cents into it in embedded taxes.
Wow.
So, you know, you're paying a lot that you don't even know you're paying now. And the beauty of it is, in being able to do with away with the IRS, it's not just doing away with the IRS, it's the fact that we, as American taxpayers, the budget office, our congressional budget office, says that it costs us about $500 billion a year just to, you know, comply with the code. Take 7 billion man-hours for people to fill out the forms.
Wow.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And so I'm excited about this because, you know, we tried to do this a long time ago, and then it kind of died. And now it's being revived again. And the president's supportive of doing something. Now, he isn't coming out and saying, wow, we're going to do this. He's saying, I think this is a good idea, and we need to look at it. But, you know, we've got a lot in our economy today that's not taxed. It's called the underground economy. You look at illicit drugs and even illegal labor and pornography. They estimate that that is $1 trillion that just goes on tax completely. So what it amounts to is if you buy anything, you'd be paying the tax on it.
Well, Sue, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is, at least in my recollection, you know what a big a supporter of this idea I've been. But,
you have.
Would you say that this is the first time that this idea has been floated from Washington to the public?
No, it's not. We floated it when Dick Armey was there. He and Billy Tozan did this probably 6, maybe 7 years ago. I lose track of time. And really went around the country on a tour doing, you know, just seminars on it. And then, like I said, there wasn't a great deal of support out of the White House at that time, and so it kind of just died.
Yeah.
But the good part about this is that, you know, the speaker is really actively pushing it. We as a conference are actively pushing it. And I see an opportunity for the first time in a long time to make this happen. Now, the other thing you need to remember is that it's fair to everybody because people who don't make a lot of money would get a rebate every month. They get a check sent back to them. And so, you know, they would have their money in hand, so they wouldn't have to be putting it out, you know, and then waiting to get reimbursed, in effect.
Now, can you explain briefly the difference between the sales tax and what's the value-added tax? Because I don't really understand exactly how that works.
Well, a value-added
tax. This is what they do in Europe, right?
Yeah, it's like they do in Europe. The problem I have with the value-added tax is everybody who produces anything adds tax into it, and then you pay tax at the end. And, you know, to me, that's not a whole lot different than the system we've got now, frankly. That's why I would like to see us do a retail sales tax or some type of a flat tax where you just paid a certain amount.
Yeah, now, flat tax is a whole lot harder to push out because it seems to be more unfair to lower-income folks.
That's correct, and that's the big argument.
Or more fair to everybody, depending on how you look at it.
Well, it's like I've said before, when you go to a restaurant and there are four people at your table, and everybody ordered the same thing, when the waitress comes around to to give you your individual checks, she doesn't ask you how much you earn.
She doesn't ask to see a pay stub to see how much
before,
you make.
Before she decides how much to charge you for your meal.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we have now in our tax code.
I mean,
it depends on how much you make is how much you pay.
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, Sue, is this like along party lines? Because, I mean, the Democrats, they want, it seems like, they're for higher taxes because they want to give more. They want to kind of bring the rich and the poor closer
together. They're playing people off against each other because they're playing the lower income people off the higher income people because the lower income people are not paying taxes anyway. They don't care how much income taxes go up because they don't have to pay them.
No, that's exactly right. And this is the argument we always have that is a real challenge. The class warfare game has been played for years. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of Democrats who do support change, though. They are on the conservative spectrum of the scale and usually are supportive of ideas like this. The challenge we always have, very frankly, in Congress is that the leadership on the Democrat side has a lot of levers to use over people's heads to get them to vote the way they want them to vote. And so
frankly, one of the problems you've got in Washington is you want to cut the amount of the budget that's going to be spent, but cut the amount of money available, but you don't cut the spending. This is the same thing that we had in the 80s when the tax cuts went into effect and the economy started reviving, but you don't cut the government spending and you don't gain any traction, or it takes a long time to gain traction when you do that.
No, that's a big challenge. I'll tell you, this is the first year when we did our budget, and the group that I chair, the Republican Study Committee, pushed this. We tried to get a 1% reduction in spending, but we were able to get a freeze on discretionary spending in our budget this year. Mm-hmm. This is the first time since we balanced the budget that we've had a freeze on spending. And so I'm encouraged because so far every bill that has left our house this year has been within our budget with that freeze on it. So, now the problem we have is it goes over to the Senate. And they love to spend money, so it gets plussed up over there, and then we have to fight it in the conference bill before it goes to the president to be signed.
Well, plus, and there's so much that does not fall into the category of discretionary spending, because there's so much spending that the government has to do because they have to provide benefits for anybody that's eligible for it, like Social Security and things like
and
that.
And veterans benefits, all the military benefits, welfare, everything that is called mandatory that we don't have a lot of control over.
Right.
One of the things we tried to do was pass a budget reform bill this year, and one of the items in there was that we would actually look at all the mandatory and make some changes there as well. Well, need I tell you, it didn't pass.
Yeah.
No, so this, you would think that this doing away with the IRS would instantly ruffle the feathers of all the attorneys that have all the money, that control an awful lot of Washington, that make an awful lot of their income representing people with conflicts
with
the IRS.
What about accountants, too, who make their living off helping?
Are we doing away with an entire industry?
No, we're not. You know what's interesting to me is when this surfaced before, I talked to a lot of my accountant friends and just people that were in the business to see what they thought of it. And there was not a great outcry because they say there's still enough legal business for people who are running corporations, et cetera, that it's not going to affect them that much. Hmm. Now, I guess the person it would affect, of course, is somebody who just does income tax for their livelihood,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
yes, it would affect them. But again, we did not get a hue and cry from all those lobbying groups, which
Good.
Amazed me. No, we did not,
wow.
And they weren't that concerned about it.
Great.
Most of them want it reformed, too, very frankly, because it's a pain in the neck for them. You can go to 10 different accountants and get 10 different answers, literally, on how you should fill out your taxes.
You can call the IRS helpline 10 mm-hmm. times and get 10 different answers.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what's so confusing, and so that's why I get so upset when somebody just says, well, we just need to reform the code. It's like 55,000 pages. You aren't going to reform it. Give me a break.
Throw it out. Let's start over.
And what about with businesses? I mean, would they still pay income tax? I mean,
no. It would work the same way with things that they buy. Now, again, I can't give you specifics because all of this has not been worked out. There's a lot of what I call still questions that need to, be gone through yet as far as how it would really work. But the main things that they've done is look at it. There's several different bills, by the way. There are about 10 of them. And out of those 10 bills, there are a lot of different variations of this. Mm-hmm. But what they're trying to do is to find something that would be, you know, neutral across the board relative to border neutral, for instance, you know, with exports. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have problems there. Industry side of it, they're trying to find a way to make that fair. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do, but what we've got to do right now is exactly what you're helping to do, and that is to get the word out and let people know what it's about and the transparency, you know, the fact that you'd actually know what you're paying mm-hmm. For something is what's really good. So anyway, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of question yet, and I admit that. But I still think that if we can get the American people to say, hey, I want you to do this, we'll find a way to get it done so it's fair to everybody.
Well, it's worth discussing no matter what happens.
How do we encourage people to encourage this to happen?
I would encourage everybody who's interested to contact their senators or their congresspeople, no matter where they live. All of that's available. The Library of Congress has a website that can give you that information. There's a website in the Library of Congress called Thomas that tells you how everybody votes and can give you any information you want relative to where they stand on these issues. And for them to find where their representative stands and then to really email them, fax them, or call them.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Randy. Haven't you listened to the show? We always end up. Call your representative and tell them how you feel.
Sometimes I ask questions because I already know the answer.
I already know the answer. I see.
Well, seriously, that's what you need to do. This government's still of the people, by the people, for the people, but everybody gets discouraged and they think, well, my voice doesn't make a difference. That's not true. Your voice does make a difference.
Yeah. That's neat. Well, Sue, thank you for spending time with us and floating us out. It is very encouraging that actually being talked about it.
Yeah, well, you just keep up the pressure.
Attaboro.
Okay, I will.
Yes, he will.
Have a great week, y'all.
All right. Thank you, Sue. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good. Bye-bye.
See you at the grocery store.
Bye, baby.
Take that, baby. She likes it.
Fine.
Fine.
Hey, baby. Oh, Rayford's coming in here. No, wait till after the newsletter's going there.